Welcome to Off the Cuff. I'm Dean Vitale, sitting here with lifelong pastor John Bell. John, how you feeling?
Really good.
Yeah, right? These have been really great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just a little history. You know, we've been doing this a long time. We took a recent break, and now we're back with new content, new subjects, new questions. And that's what we do here. We come up with a question, and then John talks about it off the cuff. And then I'll interrupt sometimes, and I'll ask for some follow-up or some clarification, and that's what we do. And we try to keep them under 15 minutes, but, you know, there's no time constraints. We'll go until we realize that, hey, it's time to stop, and we'll pick it up another time. So last time, we were talking about spiritual warfare. And John kind of encapsulated the weapons that we have, that God gives us to battle spiritual warfare. So, John, what do we have? What weapon does God give us to overcome the world?
Okay. So I would say, I wouldn't use the word weapons.
Okay.
I would say we have a person. One member of the Trinity, all three involved, that each member of the Trinity can help us in different realm, with the different enemies that we have. So our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we talked about, so if you want a fuller explanation of that, go back to the first podcast on this subject. But here's what we said. The Father, our Heavenly Father, can help us overcome the world. Jesus, the Son, can actually help us overcome the devil. So when the devil fires those darts at us, those fiery darts, you know, that's where the, you know, if you want to see the weapons of our warfare, it's in Ephesians 6.
The armor of God.
And yeah. That's...
That's kind of where I was kind of, right, you know, leaning towards. But this is different, right?
Yeah, that's really okay. That's what Jesus does.
Okay.
You know, the weapons of our warfare simply are Jesus. If you look at all of the pieces of armor, mm-hmm. they simply represent different aspects of who Jesus is. Okay. So we'll talk about that in our next session. So the Father helps us overcome the world. Jesus helps us overcome the evil one. And then the Holy Spirit, because he lives inside of us. Actually, the Trinity, we're told in, you know, John 15 and 16, we're actually told that all the members of the Trinity live within us, which is an unbelievable. I'm sometimes blown away by that thought, that God lives in me.
That's another podcast, right? That's a series.
Yeah. John 14, 15, actually, you go back all the way to 13, but John 13, 14, 15, 16, even into 17, that's like the holy of holies of Scripture, because it just unlocks so many things. You know, Jesus is revealing, these are the last teachings of Jesus before he's crucified. So then the Holy Spirit helps us with this old nature that keeps rearing its ugly head and keeps trying to pull us back to be independent from God and to rule our life. And the Holy Spirit can overcome that old nature. So today we're going to talk about how to overcome the world.
Okay, so let me just clarify it. It's not weapons. What should I call it?
I would say each member of the Trinity. So we have someone who strengthens us with each area where we are being attacked, where our enemies come from. So to defeat the enemy of the world, we have the Father.
Right. So we're going to talk about the world. And so tell me what it looks like. What do we have in the Trinity that actually helps us, that we can pray to, how we can overcome the world?
Okay. So let's start with the Father. I pray this. I think I pray it just about every day, mm-hmm. most days. There may be some days I don't, but just because I'm sound asleep and, you know, I didn't wake up or I didn't get up early. But generally, so I'll pray like this. I'll start. I always start with overcoming the world. And by the way, we are called to be overcomers, mm-hmm. right? We're called to be overcomers. So we actually can do these things. That's, you know, it seems like, wow, overwhelming to even think about that.
Right.
But we can overcome the world.
Through
and that's
God.
What we're supposed to be. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So to start with, here's what I do. When I start, the first thing I do is I worship and praise the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I start with adoration, you know, and praise and gratitude. And I'm just so thankful that I belong to you and I'm your child and I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ and that the Holy Spirit is the comforter and he walks with me in everything that I do. So I start with adoration. So that gets me, you know, that gets me in the right. I now have God in his rightful place, which is where we always have to be. So then I start basically with praying to the Father. And I simply pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. That's where he is. So he's not out in outer space. He's in heaven. And it reminds me, he's in charge. He rules. In this realm of the invisible realm, the Father is over all. You know, no one can overcome us because he rules. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it's, the idea here is holy be thy name. And whenever you talk about the name of God, when you pray in his name or you talk about the name, the phrase, the name of the Lord or the name of God simply encompasses all the attributes of God, all that he is. And all that he is infinite and complex, but that this might be another study. It's just to quickly go over the
attributes.
The attributes of God. Mm-hmm. You know, so but when we say holy, the word holy, I always think of as simplest way for me to understand it is every attribute of God functions exactly the way it's supposed to function. He loves and he judges, and those don't ever collide with each other. They are in perfect harmony. So another way I would say it is all the attributes of God are in perfect alignment. And that's why he's whole. God is a holy person. Everything is in place and it's always functioning the way it's supposed to function. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, holy be thy name, you know? Mm-hmm. And I recognize that. I'm praying to a Father who is perfect in every way. Hallowed be thy name. And then here it is. This is a key line in the prayer. Your kingdom come. So I'm praying that the kingdom of God would come to this world, which is against the kingdom of God. But I'm praying, and obviously, it starts with me. So I'm praying, your kingdom come. So today, I'm going to live in a way that serves your kingdom. And I can't wait for your kingdom to overwhelm the whole of this kingdom of this world, right? So your kingdom come. And then here's, what does it mean, your kingdom come? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So I'm asking God to help me, starting with me, to overcome this world. So your kingdom, which is perfect and holy and righteous and just and loving and good and kind and everything that it's supposed to be, everything we were designed to be. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, everybody does exactly what they're supposed to do. When a command is given to an angel, he doesn't say, "Let me think about that," or "I don't feel like that today." You know,
right?
Or,
right.
That seems too hard. It's like, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm on my way." So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then very practical things. There's a physical side of our life. And I have appetites. I have all kinds of appetites. Appetites are given to us by God. There's nothing wrong with appetites. However, those appetites can get out of sync, get out of hand. I can overindulge. I can indulge in the wrong thing. I can indulge in the boundaries outside. So I pray and I ask, give us this day our daily bread, and then forgive us our debts. So that, the idea of forgiveness here is our debts, once we come to Christ, they've all been paid, but this is just a reminder that I'm still gonna do something that I shouldn't do. I'm not gonna be perfect, and I'm probably going to hurt somebody.
So when you say debts, just for clarification, we're not talking about Visa, MasterCard, gas company. What are debts are we talking about?
Basically, it's sin. Mm-hmm. Our debts are our sin. Mm-hmm. You know, it's our offenses against God. It's mm-hmm. it's that when you sin, you basically are stealing from God. That's what you're doing. You know, it's theft because you are this world belongs to Him. And the simplest way to say it, you would understand this. It's you're embezzling. Mm-hmm. Yes. When you sin.
Wait a minute. I understand this.
What does that mean?
No, you understand business.
I know.
It's somebody stealing from the till.
Right. Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. I know.
What did I say? Off the top.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Skimming off the top. Right.
So
exactly. Right.
That's why it's debts. That's why sin is compared to debts. Because this is His world, and we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be doing His business in the way He wants us to do His business. And when we don't, we're stealing from Him. And stealing from Him is like sinning, embezzling.
Right.
It's taking something that doesn't belong to us.
Got it.
Okay. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. And then here's the key. So you have to constantly remind yourself how much you've been forgiven so that you will forgive others. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay? Lead us not into temptation. People misunderstand this. This is all temptation is. I'm going to have trials today, right? The word for trials and temptations is the same word. Now, as long as I'm listening to God, it stays a trial. Right? It's a growth factor. But if I'm not depending on God, if I'm not letting Him lead me, it's going to turn into a temptation. And a temptation is the devil soliciting you for evil.
Wow, that's good, John. That's good because what you just said there, it starts as a trial. And James tells us that we should take joy in those trials.
Yeah, because it's a growth opportunity.
It's a growth, right. I get it. But If you veer off, exactly. Now it's a problem.
Now it's a temptation.
It was good. So we could take joy in it.
Keep this as a trial that I can grow through.
Right.
Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And I actually believe it says, it means deliver us from the evil one. Mm-hmm. Right. Deliver us from evil. And then praise. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So I want to quickly, because I don't want to overdo our time, I want to go to the next set of verses that I use. So then I go to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And here's what John says. He says, do not love the world. How do you love the world? When you obey the world's commands. That's when you love the world. It's like, who's in charge of your life? Are you listening to the world? Is the world satisfying your needs? He says, do not love the world. So I'm not going to let the world satisfy my needs. I'm not going to go along with, you know, whatever the current trend is. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If you love the world, this is really clear. It's black and white. The love of the Father is not in you. And then he goes, so they're mutually exclusive. You can love the world or you can love the Father, but you can't love both. So you have to constantly love the Father. That's why I pray this prayer, because I'm submitting. It's a prayer of submission to the Father, his ways, what he, his leadership, all right? Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is passing away.
Isn't that the truth, right?
Right. Like, here's the great thing. All the stuff that's going on in this world, it's only temporary. For all that is in the world is passing away with all of its lusts. And this is a separate, I'm not going to go into each of these. And here's the lusts. It's divided into three. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So very simply, the lusts of the flesh are all those hungers and desires that we have. Everything from sex to food to anything. It's desire to satisfy, you know, your body. Or, and then the next one is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. I tell people, here's what the lust of the eye is. Very simple terms. It's covetousness.
Right.
It's seeing something, you know, whatever it is. A new house, a new car, a new job.
Cadillac Escalade.
And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but you can't lust after them. There's a difference between, you know, wanting something and lusting after it. Because if you lust after it, you know, you're going to step out of bounds. So lust of the eye, right? And then the pride of life. And what's the pride of life? The pride of life means you acquired the lust of the flesh. You acquired the lust of the eye. And now you're proud of it.
Right.
You're like,
yeah.
Look what I did.
Exactly. Yeah.
Look at all the women that I've had.
Yeah.
You know, look at all that I've accomplished.
Look at the company that I built.
Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He says they're passing away. Then he closes with this. But he who does the will of the Father, he who obeys the Father, the world's passing away. He who does the will of the Father, love is obeying. He who obeys the Father will abide forever. So in other words, we will live our lives forever into eternity, abiding. That's a big word. You know, abiding. We will actually, there will be a day when abiding with Christ, abiding with God, abiding with the Holy Spirit, it won't be such an effort.
Mm, wonderful. Okay, so this is, we have more, I can't call them weapons, we have more persons.
Help is on the way.
We have more to discuss. We're going to wrap this one up, and then John, next podcast, what are we going to discuss?
We're going to talk about who can help us overcome the devil.
All right, so we talked about the world, and now the next one we're going to talk about who can help us overcome Satan.
Yeah, the evil one.
The evil one. Mm-hmm. All right. On behalf of John Bell, our lifelong pastor, I'm Dean Vitale, saying thanks for listening. We look forward for you to tune in next time.